14. Maddie and Brewster spent most of the afternoon and evening playing with their new powers, under the guise of practicing. Sid took them on a field trip to the future to buy a few changes of clothes and better camping mattresses, letting Maddie transport them there and Brewster bring them back. Gilbert made a lavish dinner, which they ate by the pool, watching the sunset over London through the dirigible's semi-transparent skin. Afterward, they watched a movie. They let the kids choose between The Incredible Burt Wonderstone and Now You See Me. They chose Wonderstone, but switched after 20 minutes and enjoyed the second movie, despite Gilbert and Sid's complaints that the depiction of magic was completely unrealistic. The next morning, after another massive pile of delicious fried breakfast, they prepared to start their pursuit of Philip. The truth, or preferably both. Gilbert and Sid put on freshly cleaned and pressed tuxedos, along with their customary hats, capes, gloves, and canes. Maddie and Brewster were offered tuxes of their own, but declined, instead wearing their hats, capes, gloves, and canes with t-shirts and jeans. Gilbert said,
"That's gonna look weird."
Maddie shrugged. "Wearing the tuxedos at our age would look weird, too. At least this way we'll be comfortable." Sid mumbled, "Hate to admit, she has a point." Brewster said,
"I've been thinking about this, and I say we just go back in time to before all of this started and prevent it from happening in the first place."
Sid said, "No, I'm afraid that's not possible."
"Sure it is.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any memory of a future version of you coming to you with any sort of warnings?"
Maddie and Brewster both said, "No."
"Then you didn't. Which means you won't."
"No, we still can," Brewster said. "If we can go anywhere at any time, we can go back to before Philip froze our parents and stop all of this from ever happening. We're time travelers now. We need to think like time travelers."
Gilbert said,
"Sid and I are time travelers, so however we think is how time travelers think. Think about it. You want to go back in time to before it happened, but we're already back in time now, over 100 years before it happened, and it still happened, didn't it?"
"But we haven't tried yet," Brewster said.
"Yes, we have. Oh, we will have by then if we did."
Sid added,
"But we almost certainly won't, because we already know that it wouldn't have worked. In fact, it can't work, or else we wouldn't be here talking about trying it now. That's just logic."
"Is it?
Is it really?" Maddie asked. Gilbert shrugged.
"What passes for logic these days, at least?"
Sid said,
"Look, I know it's terribly confusing, but do try to understand. We've come to the counterintuitively straightforward conclusion that the past is the past and the future is the future. What has already happened has happened, even if it hasn't happened yet. Nothing we do changes anything that any of us has already experienced."
Gilbert said,
"Look at it this way. To alter the future, we'd have to change the past, right? But how can anyone possibly change the past? Whatever happened in the past already happened in the past. Doing something in the past doesn't change it, it just defines it."
Brewster asked,
"But if you do something in the past, how can you ever know you didn't change it?"
"By looking at the future," Gilbert said.
"How can you say you can't change the past?"
Maddie gestured all around them, calling their attention to pretty much everything in sight.
"You're from the future. You've got your faces plastered on billboards all over town. You drive around in a car that shouldn't exist. You live in an airship that flies without hydrogen. You've changed everything."
Gilbert said,
"To change something, it has to have been there and been different before you came along and changed it. There's no evidence, none, that this period ever existed without us. We haven't changed the past because this is how the past is."
"Or was,"
Sid said.
"And was,"
Gilbert said.
"We should know. We were here, and still are. And if we can't change the past, then logically nothing we do in it can change the future. Because everything we have done, or ever will do, already hasn't." How's that make you feel?
Confused, Brewster said. Maddie added, and angry.
Gilbert nodded.
Now you're thinking like time travelers.
Brewster asked, but how can you know you can't change the future if you don't even try?
Because we've all tried at one point or another, Gilbert said, and it never works. We've all tried to prevent ourselves from doing something or to cause ourselves to do something else. Every time we get stopped, or we screw it up, or the other us doesn't listen, or God help us, our attempt to prevent whatever we did turns out to be the very thing that gave us the idea to do whatever it was in the first place. It never works.
Sid said, we concede that this all sounds like nonsense, but consider the following. In all the time people have been traveling through time, not one of us has seen any evidence of anything any of us did in the past altering the future. One iota. None. At all. Don't forget, we're all part of an algorithm. The computer has already done all of the math. We're just experiencing it. All we truly have is the moment we're in. Yesterday is a memory and tomorrow is a hope. All we have is now, and acting now is the only way to accomplish anything.
But you're time travelers, Brewster said. You can go to the past or the future.
And when we do, from our point of view, whatever moment we travel to instantly becomes now.
Maddie said,
I don't buy it.
Sid said, and you were never going to.
Completely predictable, Gilbert agreed. Should have written it down and sealed it in an envelope or something.
Sid looked at Maddie, amused, but with no cruelty, and said,
okay, fine. You probably won't get it until you see it for yourselves. Go ahead. Go back to before all of this happened, over a century into the future from where and when we are now, and warn yourselves not to leave your parents alone, or whatever you think is best. We'll be waiting here.
Maddie and Brewster looked uncertainly at Gilbert and Sid, then looked at each other, then looked back to Gilbert and Sid. Sid made a shooing motion with his hands and said, off you pop. Gilbert said,
have fun.
The day before Philip's appearance in Maddie and Brewster's home and the confounding events that came after, the band room at the twin school sat empty. The sound of the marching band beginning practice out on the football field drifted in. Distance and the building's insulation filtered the higher frequencies and dulled the lower ones, making the instruments sound like 100 kazoos attempting to play Louie Louie. Closed cabinets covered one entire wall of the room. One of the doors, a large one marked Sousaphones, creaked open just a crack. After a pause, it opened further, and Maddie and Brewster's heads emerged, scanning the room for potential witnesses. Convinced that the coast was clear, they stepped out of the cabinet, placing their top hats back on their heads and shaking the dust out of their silk capes.
Okay, Maddie said. School let out in 5 minutes. Somewhere between 3 and 8 minutes after that, we'll walk right past that door.
And what do we do then?
Brewster asked. Maddie shrugged.
We haven't discussed it. We could grab them, or the other us, and pull them in here to talk to them, or we could try to get their attention somehow.
Brewster furrowed his brow.
In a crowded hallway?
Yeah, you're right. Someone would see us. Us, not them, us. What if we were invisible?
They'd see the distortion in the periscopes.
Yeah, and us, the other us, talking to us, this us. That'd draw attention, no good. Okay, what else? We could try to get them on the walk home, but that's...
They finished the sentence in unison. Just as bad.
Broad daylight, Brewster said. Public street.
Maddie flapped a hand as if trying to shoo the bad idea away.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so what did we do after that? We went home. Mom and Dad were there. I went over to Audrey's to study. I had dinner there. I was with her and her family the whole night. I mean, I went to the bathroom a couple of times.
Great, we'll teleport in there and warn you.
No.
What do you mean no?
I don't want you breaking in on me when I'm in the bathroom.
Fine, go alone. And if it doesn't work, you blame me? No thanks. Besides, Audrey kept talking to me through the door. She and Raphael are having problems. Again? Still. How about you? Were you ever alone that night?
Brewster said,
No, I studied at the table while Mom did some sewing. Then we had dinner, and I did some reading on the couch while Dad watched an old movie, Outland.
What was it about?
Dad was watching it.
Maddie said, Space.
Space? Old James Bond and young Frankenstein's monster fighting in space.
That sounds good. How was it?
Brewster shook his head. It didn't distract me from my book.
Okay, did you go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Then we can...
No.
Why not?
Same reasons you said.
Eh, fair enough. I don't really want to see you on the toilet anyway. Hey, what if we come to our cells after we've gone to bed?
Oh, I don't know, Maddie. We might think it's just a dream.
We'll tell ourselves that it isn't.
That's exactly what we'd say in a dream, though.
The door to the band room flew open, and Dolan rushed in. He darted to the cabinets, pulling out a large brown case, which he opened on the floor. He pulled out what looked like beautifully polished sections of wooden plumbing pipe and began to fit the pieces together. His haste and concentration were such that he nearly had his bassoon assembled before he realized he wasn't alone. He muttered,
Late for practice!
As a means to explain his actions as he turned to look at Maddie and Brewster, then stopped dead. The twins stood there, quietly looking back at him. Dolan broke into a wide, acrid smile. His voice distorted into a delighted squeal.
Nice outfits! Very fancy! Looking sharp!
Maddie and Brewster looked down at their perfectly ordinary jeans and shirts, and how they contrasted against the gloves, capes, top hats, and walking sticks.
You two working on a tap dancing routine?
Maddie said. Go play your bassoon, Dolan.
This bassoon's my ticket to college. University orchestras are always desperate for a good bassoonist.
Because nobody wants to be seen playing a bassoon.
Yeah? Nobody wants to be seen dressing like Mr. Peanut, either. Maybe you two can get a scholarship for that.
Dolan snorted with laughter as he walked out of the band room, assembling the last few pieces of his instrument. Once he'd gone, Maddie said,
The day of the attack, he mentioned
our outfits.
I remember,
Brewster interrupted her.
That means we were here the day before, right now, and it didn't.
I know what it means, Maddie said.
The school bell rang, and almost immediately the hallway outside the door filled with the sound of voices and footsteps. Brewster asked,
You still want to try?
Eh, what's the point? If we do, it didn't work. Let's go.
Yeah,
Brewster said. He placed a hand on Maddie's shoulder as she took off her hat and swiped through the interface inside its crown. In a few seconds, they both disappeared. Maddie and Brewster materialized on the patio to find Gilbert and Sid seated comfortably at the table with cold drinks and big smiles. Sid asked,
Are we to surmise by your speedy return and downcast eyes that your attempt to change the past, albeit in the distant future, was not as successful as you hoped?
Maddie said,
Nobody likes a gloater.
And yet, everybody likes to gloat. Life is full of such incongruities, don't you find?
Gilbert said,
So now you know. We can't change what's already happened, even if it hasn't. It's a hard lesson that we all have to learn. There's no way to prevent it.
The lack of a means to prevent it is, in fact, the nature of the problem.
Added Sid. Gilbert stood up and clapped his hands together as if he relished finally getting to work.
Now that we have that out of the way, how shall we proceed? And please, try to suggest something that might work.
Brewster said,
I guess we could go to where Philip lives and snoop around. We might find something.
Exactly what I was thinking,
Maddie said. Good. Where's that?
Gilbert said, that would be medieval England, Ledchurch, the same little town where he met your father.
You mean the place we already were yesterday?
Rooster said. Yes. And stop your moaning. It's not like it's a long car ride or anything.